You're listening to City Lights on WABE, where ATL meets NPR. I'm Lois Reitzis. According to Film LA's annual feature film study, 17 major motion pictures were filmed here in 2016, making Georgia the top location for feature film production, much of it in and around Atlanta. But if the city is in a shot, Atlanta's usually standing in for somewhere else, most recently for New York City in Spider-Man Homecoming. One rare exception is Baby Driver from writer-director Edgar Wright. Paste Magazine staff writer Jim Vorell wrote about this new high-octane bank-robbing action flick in a post for PasteMagazine.com. I recently spoke with Jim about that article and asked him what makes Baby Driver different.
Well, Baby Driver really celebrates Atlanta in a way that you just don't see on feature film. And Edgar Wright has made that something of a mission of his. A signature element of his visual style is to really dive deeply into the city that they're filming in.
And in fact, the script originally had the story set in L.A., didn't it?
It did. When he learned that they were going to be shooting here, they rewrote quite a lot to take advantage more deeply of the Atlanta geography, the roadways, the businesses, the restaurants, the architecture. He doesn't just set the film here. He makes it his mission to specifically make sure that you, the audience, know that it's set here.
And give us some examples, if you would, of how he ensures that.
Well, there's a particular scene where they're laying out what their escape route is going to be.
The target is an armored truck at Perimeter Trust in Dunwoody, 10 a.m. sharp. We have the details of the route because someone at the depot has a nasal problem. The bank itself is right near the Buford Highway, so we should be able to hit the ramp within 60 seconds of getting out. We also have a diversion crew. They're going to blow up a bread truck a ways away, keep the fuzz busy. The dress code is the Michael Myers Halloween mask, but don't all buy your mask at the same time. It looks suspicious. The switch car is ready, but you want me to hit the long stay parking structure at Hartsfield Jackson to get a heist vehicle that stays colder longer? Boost a commuter car, a family car, something that blends in well with morning traffic.
And some of the location-specific places mentioned or featured are Octane Coffee, Goodfellas Pizza and Wings.
I think that one's interesting because it's not even a chain. It's just a small mom-and-pop place that they must have seen. Maybe they got lunch there one day. They must have been downtown. But it's just a small, unassuming little pizza shop, and they decided that's the kind of place where Baby would get his 9-to-5 job after retiring from a life of high-octane crime. The movie just makes you want to go to those places and enjoy. Like, I haven't ever been to Goodfellas, but after seeing it in the film, I wanted to go down by the Varsity and walk by some of those places again to just kind of imagine shooting. I wish that I could have been there for the shooting itself.
Where is Bo's Diner? That was the one place that did not look familiar.
Yeah, I had to. I couldn't figure that out when I was writing the piece for Paste. It was before the movie had been released, and so there was basically no information. I tried scouring up and down to try to find that information. I didn't find it until after the movie had come out, and of course the internet had gone to work with its sleuthing. It turns out that the location of the Bo's Diner, which is where Baby meets the love of his life, Deborah, is at 5116 Interstate 85 in Forest Park, near the airport. Somebody on the Atlanta subreddit was able to track this down. It's in an old, what was a Denny's location. I've been sitting kind of dilapidatedly. And if you use Google Maps and you zoom back to March of 2016, you can see it change from an old building into Bo's Diner.
Oh, wow. Well, I noticed how there was also some camera magic in the apartment where Baby lives with his foster father, I think was actually the lobby of the Hurt Building, which is very lavish. It's marble walled, and it has some very posh residences. But they created what looked like just a really rickety old elevator and some graffiti. It was only looking out of the entrance, that shot, that I realized, wait a minute.
That's really interesting, because I think every Atlanta resident will see something different in it. I have only been here for 3 years, so I don't even get the full extent of it. But there's other people in the Paste office who are lifelong Atlanta residents, and they see even more to it than me.
Well, you cover a good bit of territory in the Paste article. The film captures what you write about as the culture of Coke.
Yeah, that was something I was more or less unprepared for coming down here. I mean, I grew up drinking Coca-Cola. Every kid in America probably has. We had Coke in the fridge at all times.
Where did you grow up?
I'm from the suburbs of Chicago. Then I came down here, and it was just, I've never seen a city where one brand has such, not just like sales dominance, but cultural dominance over everyone, to the point where somebody sits down at a diner in a movie and they don't just say, you know, what do you want? It's just assumed that they all want Cokes.
I was hoping you might also talk about Edgar Wright's use of music in this film.
Oh, man.
I loved it. I thought music was a leading character.
Yes. I mean, obviously, we've been talking about the city of Atlanta all this time, but it's a film that's all about music. It's about music even more than it is about visuals, which is probably a new thing for Wright because he's such a visual director, a uniquely visual director. Nobody really understands physical comedy and the pace of a scene quite like he does in Hollywood right now. That is like the thing that sets him apart from everyone. But at this time, he took music and decided to fuse it with his own visual aesthetic to the point where, like you said, music is a character, but everything is set to music. And it's not just that music is playing while all the action is happening. The music is flowing to the beat of every footstep, and every action is syncopated to what is happening in that song. They have been chosen so carefully that every gunshot is on the beat of whatever song is playing. Every footfall is on the beat of whatever is playing. I can't even imagine the editing room, how they were able to. I can't imagine how they were able to shoot with that in mind so that it would sync up so perfectly with the songs that were playing. It must have been a Herculean effort.
It must have been, and yet it was essential to have that part of the film work because music is baby's coping mechanism. It's what gets him through life.
Without the musical aspect of his character, it wouldn't be the same film, even close to it. He wouldn't be much of a character without the music, because the music sort of speaks for him a lot of the time, because he's pretty quiet. He doesn't talk a lot. His actions and the music that is behind his actions tell the audience how we should be feeling about him.
I thought the film was beautiful and exciting, and I love that Edgar Wright paid tribute to Atlanta the way he did, and I appreciate the way you wrote about it in Paste.
It just struck me while watching it as something that I hadn't seen before in my years living here.
Jim Varel, thank you very much.
Thank you.